This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
No, I was told by people that he was ready to go, full go. They're going to have to, you know, ramp him up, which they should be doing. But yeah, I would say just in from 10,000 feet, that Stephon Diggs, 9 months after tearing his ACL, 8 months after surgery, that he is fully go on day one of Patriots training camp. It's pretty stunning to me. He must be a freak, because to be ready like this and at his age, not many people can do that.
That's good. That's good.
They're going to play that at Gillette this year?
They should.
The Drake May remix.
Great work by Nick.
Yep.
Nick's got nothing but downtime back there.
Just eating bagels.
In Brighton, just woofing bagels.
Having the time
He's of like,
life
oh, let me
there.
Try the salmon cream cheese. Oh, how about the cream cheese with chive?
That's
oh,
nice.
What's this bagel over here? Oh, everything? Sesame? Sure.
Living it up.
Seriously. So
We're not going to see this guy for like a month.
No, we really won't. So he took the liberty to throw that together. Look, we all have our verbal grudges.
Not me. Yeah.
Who among us doesn't? Oh, not you. I was about to say who among us doesn't.
I definitely do. I don't know what it is. I don't want to know what it is, because then I'll just think about it all the
Mine's
time.
Mine's you know.
Oh, is it?
You know.
There's a podcast I listen to that drives me nuts. That's one of the people on the podcast says that like all the time.
You know?
Yes. Oh, everything is you know.
Interesting.
And so when people say that to me, I go, yeah, I do know.
Right.
And then they're like, what? Because like, they don't even realize they're saying it.
Yeah. I'm saying it. I know.
Like, you know, you know? I'm like, yeah.
It's like,
no,
Larry,
I do know.
Like Larry with Leon. He's like, I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? I know what you're saying.
I do know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm the guy that's pointed out that I say jump in line for the phones.
Oh, jump in line.
That's gotten in my head.
Yeah.
Along with the Mac and Goo Movie Club. That's
like,
that's
dive in line.
Yeah, I'm like, do, you know, get in line.
Oh, Mac and Goo Movie Club was pissed yesterday at Nick.
Why is that?
They said Mike Lieberthal, not a random player.
Ooh.
He is a household name, Mike Lieberthal.
That is
shots fired at Nick.
Right, is his number retired?
Oh, it might be.
His number's retired?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's there forever.
I don't think so, but he was there a long time.
Yeah.
So Nick's going to get back in the lab, put the bagels down, get a new random player for today.
Yeah,
true random player. No, but then Nick goes crazy. So now Nick's going to get defensive, and Nick's going to pick a guy that played like four major league games that nobody's ever heard of.
But you can thank yourself for bringing that up, because that's not what we're going to have to deal with.
That's
on you. So you heard there Greg Bedard on Steph Diggs. Very healthy, looks very healthy, way ahead of schedule. You know who's not, Keith?
Who's not?
Absent today. I must admit, when I was going through the roster today, you know, it takes a minute with a fine-tooth comb.
Now that they're all out there stretching together, they're all on one field, it's easier to get a good look at it.
Now I got it. So I told you no Jalen Polk. Of course, nobody who's on PUP like Mac Hollins, Austin Hooper. Those guys aren't out there. But absent today. He was on an FI. He was at camp yesterday, absent today, according to Mark Daniels and my research as well with binoculars.
You're confirming Mark Daniels?
Yes. Okay. Carlton Davis not out there.
You don't know what's going on there. I mean, the NFI has already got a layer of intrigue to it, right? You're like non-football injury. Like, all right, what is it? They don't really need to tell you.
How'd you do it? You did it away from the facility. How'd you do it? What is it?
You weren't at OTAs. We saw you on the jet skis, which looked like cars. May have fooled some people into thinking they were cars in the water. They weren't. Stupid if you ever thought that.
That's really dumb.
But then Vrabel's update on Tuesday was like, yeah, he'll be here. And then he is. Now he's not. So – yeah, that's one to keep an eye on, because we talk about the offensive line being the weakest position. Well, the strongest position is corner if you have Davis, because you have Gonzalez, and then if you have him, that's as good of a duo in the league as there probably is. But what's going on? Like, that's a good question for the coach, I guess, because you're going to need him this year.
Well, Vrabel doesn't talk again until tomorrow.
Right.
No media availability with Vrabel today, but we'll get some of that tomorrow. Maybe we'll get an update on Polk as well. Mike Reese, ESPN Boston, has some context on Jalen Polk.
All right, let's hear it.
He says, I'm told Polk passed his initial physical.
Nice.
Then later had what is considered minor muscle tightness.
Oh,
so
boy.
Playing it causes. They're like, anything tight there? Stay away. Just stay away from the tip. Don't eat up any rice. You got some, what, your casserole store?
I think I could go.
No.
Don't rush back.
Don't pull anything.
Take all the time you need.
You stay out of there. You're sore.
I should probably play.
No.
Could go, coach.
So he passes physical and then had some tightness?
Yeah, it must have been a pretty rigorous physical.
Seriously.
You know?
I
it wasn't
guess.
A turn-your-head-and-cough situation. I guess it was a little bit more intense than that. So he hurt himself during the physical is another way of looking at it.
Yep, correct.
He passed the physical, but then following the physical.
Then woke up the next day.
Boy, my dogs are barking.
Legs just barking at him like you read about.
I guess.
So I'm
less worried about him just because I don't think he factors into the team.
Yeah, I don't think he makes the team. It's an interesting story to go from a guy who by the way, Keith, I didn't love the draft pick when it was made.
No.
But then you see some of the feedback from camp. You see, I thought he looked good in the preseason games. Like, I thought he was active and involved in the preseason games. I thought he seemed like he had good chemistry with May in those games, which tells you how irrelevant, I guess, preseason games are.
Self-proclaimed best hands in the league.
I didn't love that when he said it.
All right.
But
good confidence, though.
It is just another example of, well, okay, we can get all excited about a Kyle Williams catch yesterday on Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And it was an exciting play. Although you didn't like it so much, you thought it should have been a sack in real time.
No.
That is an exciting play.
Might not have stood, but it was a good play.
It's just a reminder, though, that like Jalen Polk this time of year was also looking good, and now he's probably not even on the team.
Yeah, no, he's not. But I think everything about this year is already kind of elevated from last year. Like you kind of grading that on a curve because you're like, oh, he looked good. Like with what, Jacoby Brissett? Like you just went into it with such a. It was such a downer, really. It was year one post Belichick, so that was already annoying a lot of the fans. But then you're like, all right, what are they going to be? And you looked at the talent across the board, you're like, this is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't even starting Drake May right away. So you went in, it was hard to have any kind of real enthusiasm for last season. And that has completely changed. And so I feel like even though Jalen Polk might have had his flashes last year, it still doesn't stand up to what anybody does well this year. People are going to be way more excited about it because there's actually some semblance of hope for the season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, everything feels like they're way ahead of where they were a year ago, which makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
Mike Vrabel, exactly. Yeah.
And Mike Vrabel's a veteran coach, even if you don't love the hire, which I didn't love at the time. I don't think it's the worst hire in the world, but I thought they could have gone higher end. Ben Johnson's a guy we both liked. So even if you didn't love the hire, we can all acknowledge at least he shows up and knows what he's doing, unlike the last guy.
Yeah.
So that is a big difference. But that's on Jalen Polk. I don't see anybody else reporting, besides me and Mark Daniels, that Carlton Davis isn't out there yet. So I'm just trying to double check. But I trust Daniels.
Yeah, I don't see him.
And his vision. I don't see Seven out there.
Good jugs machine work going on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Pepper's held on to that one, unlike yesterday.
Seven!
So I don't know. Is the Carlton Davis thing starting to be something to monitor? He's in, he's out, he wasn't at minicamp, he wasn't at OTAs.
Yeah, for sure.
Then he was at minicamp, then he was at day one of training camp, now he's not. I mean, they put a lot of money in this guy.
Yeah, not only that, I think we were going through the list of top ten at each position, honorable mentions, all that stuff. And we're going through like who are the best players in the league, who are the best players on the team, and he was one of the names that got mentioned. So you could make the case that he is one of the five or six best players on the team. So yeah, if he's not out there and you're just wondering why we don't really have a clear cut answer. Yeah. So I mean, it's worth questioning. You're not freaking out. They don't play a game for over a month from now. And he's a veteran. So you feel like once he does get out there, like I think he's going to be fine. But yeah, what's going on there? That has to be one of the questions that going into camp maybe we didn't have, and then after one day kind of moves towards the top of the list.
Doug Kite is also reporting with me and Mark Daniels.
Oh, so you three guys are
on this. Yeah, so the three of us are all reporting.
I mean, that's pretty locked in then.
That's a holy
trinity.
That's
multiple sources.
Yeah. It really is. So you guys can discuss 617-779-7937. I do think Diggs is maybe the most interesting piece of this camp. And I'm admittedly going back and forth on Diggs, where, you know, it seems so long ago, Keith, but the stuff on the boat, you're like, man, what kind of teammate is this guy going to be? Is he going to be good for Drake May? Is he going to be good for the receivers in the room? Is he going to be good for the overall culture of the team? He has worn out his welcome everywhere he's been. Everywhere he's been. No one, Houston didn't want him back last year. That's for a reason. They completely overturned their receiver room. They could have brought him back. So I do feel that way. At the same time, the guy has gotten himself into ridiculous shape coming off that injury. He's way ahead of where I thought he would be.
I think he's super motivated. I think he's really motivated about how nobody really wanted him this year. He even said it at his first press conference here in New England that, yeah, there were teams interested. Follow-up questions like, any visits? Well, no. So, like, really it was just the Patriots that were offering him anything. We found out what the number was for how much money he was getting, and then you find out like what the real number was, and you're like, okay, the market wasn't really there.
And remember, until he passes physical, he didn't have a dime.
Yeah. You know, once again, going back to that list of the top 10 wide receivers, there was also as many as 25 receivers that got at least a vote. He wasn't one of them. So I think the whole league is kind of not expecting much out of Diggs, which has got to piss him off and motivate him, and that's great. Because I do think what you do get, at the very least with Diggs, is that honeymoon period. His first couple years with the Bills, he was one of the best receivers in the league.
Yep.
And then last year, he was trending towards a really solid season. I wouldn't say, you know,
vintage Diggs.
1,500 yards, right. First team All-Pro, but he was on pace for 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns or whatever, and on a decent team. And then obviously in Minnesota, it was the team that drafted him. By the end there, he was really good. So I think as long as he's healthy, you're going to be able to kind of count on some of those numbers. Now, how long it lasts, I have no idea. I wouldn't bet on it being a super long time. But for this season alone, I have pretty high expectations for him.
Well, and again, if for nothing else, it sounds like he's going to show guys how to work. Like maybe you got to be concerned about him demanding the football and wanting his touches, and maybe you got to be concerned about him away from the field. But when he's here and he's putting in, I think it's pretty clear he's putting the work. Can he still play? And at what level can he play at? We don't know. But like, that's not a bad thing for a young receiver like Kyle Williams to feed off of. So,
but this is also one of those things that you get into with most number one receivers, right? And you're like, all right, you know, when they brought in Randy Moss, for God's sake. Now that's super high end. That's one of the greatest receivers of all time. But there was some stuff, right? Like the way it ended with the Raiders, some of the off field stuff, which I think may have been overblown, but whatever. It was, some of it was there. But you'll take him.
Yeah.
Right? There's also, like, a bunch of guys around the league, like A.J. Brown. Of course, everybody would take A.J. Brown. There's a whole bunch of different guys that you would say, I'll take. It's going to come with a little bit of a headache, but hopefully it's worth it on the field.
And to your point, you know, even McLaurin, who's, like, well-regarded as, like, the best teammate, is holding out.
Right, exactly. So there's always something with everybody.
Because I was about to say, yeah, but even on the receiver scale, this guy has bounced around quite a bit.
But how about, like, Tyreek Hill in Miami right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think a lot of teams would want Tyreek Hill, but, like, Tua's talking about how they got to, like, repair the relationship.
Yeah, Tua's like, we're still working on our relationship. They've been playing together.
Like, dude, you guys have known each other a long time.
We played together, basically, Tua's whole career.
Yeah. There's very few clear-cut number one receivers that have, like, no issues. Now, some of the issues might be you could blame the team, right? Like, last year at this time, Cincinnati wasn't paying Ja'Marr Chase. That was a Cincinnati issue, but it's still a receiver that is, you know, maybe missing camp or, you know, looking out for himself, which you don't really blame him for. But every single – I mean, almost every single top-end player is going to come with some kind of baggage. And so that's why I have no problem with it. Like, I think, would you rather just have, like, a bunch of, like, number three receivers that are just happy to be in the league? Or do you want to, like, take a chance with a guy that might be you gotta do some, you know, different kind of coaching? Like, if you're Mike Vrabel, you have, like, a different kind of issue, but the talent is worth it.
No, I would for sure rather have that. So Patriots going through some drills. We'll get into some team periods here coming up in a little bit. Live day two at Patriots training camp. We'll talk some Red Sox with Rob Bradford coming up at 11:30. We'll revisit some of what Sam Kennedy had to say this morning on the Greg Hill Show for his, the weekly front office report. He's on about every other week alternating with Craig Breslow, so we'll get to that coming up. Plus, we mentioned Carlton Davis absent today. How good can this defense be? And is it good enough to carry Drake May in year two if he can't meet some of the expectations? Let's get to that with all your phone calls next.
Now more of Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Yeah, Kyle. I mean, he's backside one-on-one with Gonzo. He made a big-time catch, you know, strong hands. I told him to maybe sell a little more, just try to, you know, give him a go-route feel. But I think he's coming along. He's looking good. I told Gonzo that I'm going to come at Gonzo. I'm not going to, you know, backside. I'm not going to, you know, leave him out here bored at practice. So I'm good for, you know, rookie to make a play like that. And I think he's just going to get better and better.
Jones and Keith, live day two Patriots training camp, Gillette Stadium. Pats today, still unpadded practices. Just helmets, Keith? That's all we're seeing down there?
Yeah, just hats today.
No no shoulder pads.
No.
What do they call those big helmets again? What's the name of those?
Oh, I don't know. Those are concussion-proof?
Yeah,
Guardians?
What is it again? Guardian. Guardian.
Good
cap.
One, Bill.
Good amount of Guardian caps out there today.
Another drill, though. Steph Diggs leading the way for the receiver. So there's a big pile of receivers down here.
I was just going to point that out.
Yeah.
So is that backs as well? Like, I'm not sure. Is that all receivers? But, yeah, he was first up through the drills. What, I don't even know what to call this. They're running like a box.
I don't know. It's catching, like, with cones, and they catch, drop, catch, drop, catch, drop. So there's three different balls. You basically are running like around a square, but you catch a ball three different times. So it's kind of like close quarters, working on footwork and cutting. But, yeah, Diggs was the first one to show everybody how to do it. And, you know, naked eye, he looks the best at it. Like he does it better than anybody
for
else.
For sure. Yeah. I'm very biased eye up here.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
But I would definitely say that. So you heard Drake May yesterday complimenting Kyle Williams, the young receiver on the team. We get into some team stuff. We can pass along how he looks. But he had a good day one. But as we highlighted earlier today, Jalen Polk was looking pretty good this time of year last year.
Yeah.
And now he's absent two straight days and already had an uphill battle to even make this club. So things can change quickly, but we'll pass along what we see here. We'll get to the Red Sox as well coming up. Again, Brad Foe going to join us at 11:30, as he does every Thursday. Wild one for the Red Sox last night. We have a Kiefer Madness for you as well at 12:45, plus grab bag and clip du jour. All that good stuff coming up on Jones and Keefe. Real quick before we get to the Pats and their defense, Keefe.
Yes.
They'll have to face Justin Fields this year, we think. Twitch chat has been quite active on the Justin Fields story out of New York. The latest there... It was reported earlier today that Justin Fields, former quarterback of the Bears and Steelers, now with the Jets, was carted off at Jets training camp today with a lower leg injury. And you're like, oh, boy, that sounds like...
That sounds bad. It sounds like a season ender.
Yeah, Achilles or who knows? I mean, who knows what it is? Reading from Rap Sheet, he says that he left today after suffering a lower leg injury. He's dealing with a toe injury, according to Jets coach Aaron Glenn. Glenn indicated that, by the way, the play unfolded, he believes that someone stepped on Fields' foot.
So stepped on?
What seemed like potentially a major issue now,
like, he's done.
Now seems pretty minor.
He'd be back today.
You get
stepped on?
You got to get carted off for getting cleated?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, that makes Paul Pierce look like a warrior for the NBA Finals. Or do you get stepped on? Don't guys get stepped on, like, every practice?
You have turf toe?
I had turf toe once, but I had like a mild. It was awful.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
I've heard you say
that
before. Because you're like, initially when you read toe injury, you're like, if it's turf toe, you're like, that's no joke.
It could knock him out for a long time. But if you just get stepped on, you have an owie and you'll get back out there.
I would imagine you're back tomorrow, is what I would think and hope for Justin.
Well, what's their backup plan? Who's the backup with the Jets?
I think it's Tyrod.
Oh, okay.
So not good.
No, but you might see him anyway.
Well,
you and I like Fields, but there's no reason for us to like Fields. He has not been a good NFL quarterback.
No. I've been pro Fields from the pre-draft process, stood by him all along, thought he was going to be good last year in Pittsburgh, still kind of think he's going to be good. but sooner or later, I'll learn from that mistake.
But they got worse at quarterback, right? As bad as Rodgers was.
Probably.
They probably got worse. Yeah,
they probably got worse. Yeah. That's fair.
They basically made a trade with Pittsburgh is what happened.
Exactly. Yeah. So the Patriots are going to face both Aaron Rodgers with Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And Justin Fields, assuming he can get over this
we'll see.
Hellacious cleating that he took at Jets practice. How good do you think the defense can be this year, Keefe? And put another way, if Drake May doesn't exactly, and the offense doesn't hit the ground running to start the year, and I think they looked good yesterday, day one of training camp, but let's see, maybe we're wrong on some of our projections and steps forward for the offense. Are they going to be good enough to win games, especially early in the year, on defense?
I do think it's possible. I think they should be a top 10 defense. I think you look at the coaches that they have, I mean, starting with Vrabel, but I think they should be a good defense. We'll figure out what this Carlton Davis situation is eventually. But if you have those two guys as your corners, I think if you get a bounce back year from Peppers and Duggar, that's a good secondary. I think a lot of it is going to kind of hinge on Keon White, who sometimes looks like an absolute game wrecker. And then at other times, you know, you got teammates basically calling him out for freelancing, and it was like last year turned into a mess, and it was like
our guy Godchild was not very pro Keon White.
Like, he definitely has it in him, but I don't know if it's consistent or you can rely on it. So I think on the front seven they have a few guys that could go either way. Like Keon White and Christian Barmore could have awesome seasons and be really good or not, right? Like those, like, whereas like Milton Williams I feel like will be good. Robert Spillane I feel like will be good. Harold Landry, like, we'll see if he's got anything left in the tank. But all of that to be like, I think the Patriots for years and years and years, and this was under Belichick, but even still, they would dominate the bad quarterbacks. They would dominate the teams that they should. I feel like this team has the personnel to easily do that. And then the question will be, all right, how do you stack up against Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and those guys? But for some of those bad teams and bad quarterbacks that they face early in the year, I think the defense is good enough to win, even if the offense doesn't light up the scoreboard.
Let's be charitable and say no big deal with Davis. He was out here yesterday. He's absent today. Let's say he's ready to go week one. Would you rather have a strong secondary or a strong front seven? Because I do think, at least at corner, they're strong. I think the safeties are fine.
If I had to pick, I guess probably the front seven.
Oh, interesting. See, I think I'd go the other way.
Yeah, but I think a dominant I mean, I guess you, so you look at the Eagles. I guess they kind of have everything.
Yeah, they drafted two nasty corners.
I know they kind of do have everything, but I
famously hate Cooper DeJean, but he's a good player.
Well, because I feel like corner and elite edge rusher are both super important, right? And then you have like linebacker, D tackle, safety are all kind of similar as far as like what you're prioritizing, but like what could make the other one better.
Right.
Like if you have an insane pass rush, you don't need to cover as long.
Right. You can't cover forever even if you have great corners. So
then the way the rules are, I think you might be better with that, I think. Right? So you're arguing if you have like lockdown corners, it gives the pass rush more time to get to the ball. But then there's also the part of like you do need to stop the run, and not that like, oh, stopping the run, like, oh, you smash my football. But that's important. You can't give up big yards on the
ground. We saw last year against Jacksonville in London. They just churned out 5, 8, 10 yards whenever they wanted to.
Yeah, so I guess I'd land on that. You want them all working together, obviously, but give me the front seven that's better.
I do have questions about their front seven. I think they're better than last year. They should be. You know, Milton Williams was a part-time player in Philly. You know, he was very productive when he played, but he was a part-time player. I mean, I don't know. What is Robert Splaine? I guess I'm curious to actually see that.
Machine.
I feel good, right, but is it like falling on top of the pile, or is he a playmaker? Like, I'm curious to see that.
Could he be like Mayo, like the player, player Mayo.
Yeah.
You'd be like that?
Yeah, where he's piling up tackles.
No, but it's an upgrade from what you had last year.
Yep.
You know, so like they could use somebody like that. And if the guys in front of him are even better, then he's going to look a lot better.
So I was just about to say, pretty much every time you hear a cheer, it's for Steph Diggs. But that last one was for Pop Douglas, a little one-handed catch.
Oh, there you go.
But in general, you're getting a nice crowd reaction every time Diggs is going through some of these individual drills. They're catching passes right now from non-quarterbacks.
Well,
quarterbacks are down at the other end of the field.
He's the guy the fans are most excited to see.
I think so, too.
I mean, Drake May's up there, obviously, but we saw Drake May last year. So out of all the guys on the roster, it's really not even close. Like, if we were to tier that, like, who the fans are interested in seeing or, like, what jersey's going to be bought, it's Diggs and May, and then there's a huge Gonzalez, and then a big gap after that.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, in terms of the newcomers, he's the one to get most excited.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. It's how you climb aboard on Jones and Keefe. You hear that?
Dive
Keefe?
Right in.
I almost crossed myself up. So you can talk to us there on the phones and on the text line. We got Bradfo at 11:30. We have a Keefe for Madness for you at 12:45. And when we come back, let's get to the Red Sox. Wild one.
Wow.
Much needed one last night in Philadelphia. Does it change their approach at the trade deadline? We'll get to all of it coming up next.